Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Elizabeth Smart produced this, you say?
Elizabeth Smart produced this, and Elizabeth Thomas is here to tell her own story. It's amazing.
It's really amazing. I'm very into it.
I know.
Hi, Jillian Bezzavalli.
Hello, Patrick Hines.
Hey, fam. Join us over on the Patreon, but only if you like bonus episodes once a week with no ads.
Yep. And Drag Bingo once a month
yeah.
with also no ads.
Oh, my God.
It's just a whole lot of fun.
So much fun. If you're on the Hero Bell tier, we just released another brand new episode just for them.
Yes.
So we did an Unsolved Mysteries episode covering the America's Loch Ness Monster.
Champ in upstate New York.
The Loch Ness Monster of Lake Champlain.
Yeah.
Has she been there for 35 million years? Only one way to find out.
I mean, depending on who you ask.
Ask somebody on the Hero Bell tier. They'll tell you.
Yeah.
What are we talking about today, girl?
All right. So this is called The Elizabeth Thomas Story with Elizabeth Smart, and it's on Hulu.
A predator can come in all shapes and forms. It can be that teacher. The public looks at it as, well, I can't believe he would do that.
It started with someone who I thought just cared about me, and then someone who started sexually abusing me.
I've done nothing wrong.
Just because someone on face value looks like that they're, you know, Mr. Clean doesn't necessarily mean they are.
I'm more afraid than I've ever been in my life.
Elizabeth Thomas has been missing for well over a week now. Investigators believe she was abducted by her former Maury County teacher, 50-year-old Tad Cummins.
The hairs on the back of my neck stood up. There was no doubt in my mind that they were together.
The first days of captivity, I was sexually assaulted multiple times a day.
He's believed to be armed, and now his wife is asking him to come out of hiding.
Please do the right thing and turn yourself into the police and bring Beth home.
He took those guns. I mean, what's he going to do with the guns? Is it for protection, or does he have something else in mind?
I am headed to meet Elizabeth Thomas.
I've been wanting to talk about my story for a while, and I'm tired of being quiet about it.
We open with the incredible Elizabeth Smart. If you don't know her story, she was kidnapped in 2002 and held captive for 9 months before being rescued.
And now she's a survivor. She's an advocate. She's spoken to so many survivors in the last 20 or so years.
Yeah.
And she explains, you know, Elizabeth Thomas is here to tell her story, but Elizabeth Smart is saying that, like, after all these 20 plus years, even though the details can vary, the emotional journey can be very similar. Not the same. No one's
yeah.
the same, but
yeah.
she's really trying to help these women.
It's unbelievable. Like, we'll get more into
people, I should say. Sorry.
Yeah. And we'll get into Elizabeth Thomas's story, but we talk so much about how isolating things like this feel.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you think about the number of people who've lived through what they've lived through, being kidnapped, you know, sexually assaulted, as we're going to learn, but then also, like, escape and they get on with their lives. Like, we're going to come to see that these two Elizabeths have, like, a real bond.
Yeah.
As people who have survived a very unique thing that only, like, people who've been through what they've been through would know what they've been through.
Right. Like, Elizabeth Smart understands the value of talking to someone who has a similar experience, because
yes.
it can be so lonely, it can be so isolating, and like you're saying, if you haven't been through it, you don't get it.
Yeah. So Elizabeth Smart is in the car, and she's on her way to meet Elizabeth Thomas, and she's wearing her power red jacket.
Yeah. She looks amazing.
It's incredible. It's so crazy to see her grown up, because we see, like, I remember her as, like, a young girl,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And to see, like, she hasn't been in the public eye much in the last, like, 10 years
she's
or whatever.
She's been doing hard goddamn work.
Exactly. And she just looks like a grown woman now.
Yeah, she has it's very interesting to see, because she's so warm and welcoming, but
yeah.
also very commanding, and knows she's really stepping into her power here and sort of holding her hands out for
yes.
Elizabeth Thomas to say, like, come here.
It's true. You can almost get the sense that, like, she speaks to, like, large groups on this topic all the time. She's
yeah.
very well spoken. She's very articulate. She knows exactly what she wants to say. She conveys it all very well.
But Elizabeth Smart says that she wants to know why Elizabeth Thomas wants to tell her story now on this very big stage on Hulu. Lou with ABC News. And Elizabeth Thomas is here to explain.
Yeah, it's been 6 years since the events of Elizabeth Thomas's kidnapping happened.
Yeah, she calls it the event because she doesn't want to put a name to it. And I totally understand that.
Yeah, I was saying to you before we started, watching this was hard for me.
Yeah, it's tough.
Because it's very hard to watch survivors, like, sort of talk through this. And Elizabeth Thomas, it feels like she's doing it kind of for the first time.
Yes.
And it's uncomfortable, but obviously we need to sit in the uncomfortability and learn.
Right. And her name is Mary Catherine Elizabeth Thomas. Some people call her Mary Catherine. Yeah. Some people call her Beth.
It's a lot of names.
It's a lot of names. Mary Catherine Elizabeth Thomas.
Yes.
And she says, like, look, there is still a lot of healing to do. And we see these two women meet in person for the first time.
Yeah.
And it's really, really incredible.
And it's amazing. It's little things like they're standing on Elizabeth Thomas's front porch and they've met over the phone. So they've spoken a couple of times, but Elizabeth Smart wants to give her a hug, but she's asking for consent.
Of course.
She's like, may I give you a hug?
Yeah. Are you ready for that?
Yeah.
Maybe we can hug at the end of this. Maybe we can hug not at all.
I don't know,
but what's okay.
You pointed out in the Taylor, the 22 moment in the Eras tour, she always asks the little kid first before giving the hug.
Yeah.
And it means something.
Yeah.
You
even
know?
Though the kids are like, ouch, arms outstretched. Yeah. Like, yes.
Or she like, I love asks, the ones that are just
she
like
asks to trade the bracelets.
Oh,
amazing.
God, it's so cute.
It's so cute.
It's my favorite. I could watch it on a loop all day long.
I know. It's so good. So Elizabeth Thomas explains that the town where this happened hasn't really been supportive of her. They're supporting the abuser.
They've seen him as, you know, the good person in the situation, and it wasn't his fault just because he had such a good reputation in the town that it just made me seem like I was just this child that came along and ruined his life.
Like, she lives in the town and she's not supported, and I think she's here to set the record straight.
Yeah, because she says he had such a good reputation and they make it out like I was some child who came along and ruined his life.
Yes.
And she really emphasizes his here, which I think is important to point out.
Yeah.
We see the two of them speaking, both Elizabeths here speaking, and then we get Elizabeth Smart to camera to sort of break things down for us because she's been such an advocate for so long, and she jumps in and Elizabeth Smart says, this is exactly why people don't want to talk about what happened to them. This is why, because even everyone knows the truth. The truth is so glaringly obvious.
Yeah.
And still, Elizabeth Thomas is being shamed, or she's just not being believed, or she's kind of like sneered at when she's just going to the store. It's ridiculous.
It's insane. And part of me feels like people must just not be able to confront that this happened in their community.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And there's something about this teacher. We had a teacher, we'll get to him in a minute, but we had a teacher like him at my high school, the safe one, the one that everyone went to his classroom. And he ended up being a great guy, like being the principal of the high school eventually. And as far as I know, there's no allegations against him, but it always made me uncomfortable. Like, kids were a little too close to this teacher, you know?
It's true, yeah.
And I want to be very clear, nothing ever happened with him, but there are boundaries for a reason, and there should be boundaries. Like, we'll get there.
We'll get there when we get
but
there.
But it's just like, oh.
Yeah.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
So we learn Elizabeth Thomas was already what they say is vulnerable.
My family growing up was very rough. We weren't raised on I love you. I just felt like there was no love in that household. There was a lot of things we didn't have. We weren't, you know, we were very poor. My parents homeschooled us, but I felt isolated just because I felt like there was nobody who cared for me.
There's no parent sort of being like, that was horrible when this thing happened.
Right, and then I supported her ever
since. And all I can think of as a dad watching this whole thing is like, it's just not hard to show love to your children. I get it. I was raised by a single mom who had to work all the fucking time. I was barely parented, but I knew my mother loved me.
Right.
And that made some kind of a difference.
Yeah,
you know?
Because Elizabeth Thomas says, you know, she grew up poor. She was homeschooled, which made her feel very, very isolated. She said, I felt like there was no one who cared for me. But then high school comes along. And she goes to high school. So it was a major like culture shock because she goes from being isolated and homeschooled to being like in actual high school.
Can I tell you something that's just occurring to me? Like she's talking about this transition into regular high school and how hard it was because nobody talked to her and everybody looked at her like she's like the weird new kid and she had nowhere to sit at lunch. And like, it is just not hard to be nice to people.
You know, it breaks my heart. And I have a question.
Yeah.
Like, Can you just teach your kids to invite people to sit with them? And now my question is, on top of that question, because the first thing I'm saying is like, is it too much to ask to teach your kids to invite someone who's sad, who's sitting by themselves at lunch? But then I'm thinking, am I going to get yelled at for that? Like, am I making it the kids' responsibility now?
No.
I don't know. It just feels like the nice thing to do.
I'm 100% on your side. And we had a meeting with Daisy's principal today just to go over stuff about school. And the thing that the principal said to us was like, Daisy is just friends with she's so nice to everybody. And like, we had our Christmas party, right? And we had maybe 6 or 7 kids at the party. There was a woman who came. I didn't know that well. She was a friend of a friend. She brought her son. His name was Kevin. And I brought him into the room where all the kids were playing and they all knew each other. And I brought him to Daisy because he was a little shy and I knew she would make him at home. And I said, Daisy, this is Kevin. Can you please make him feel at home? And she took him by the hand and she goes, yes, Daddy, get out.
Yeah, bye. But like, a little goes a long way. And when you're in high school,
it's just not that hard. Like, when I was in high school and I came out and I just had a really fucking hard time and I wasn't cool, I wasn't popular. Yeah. The most popular girl at school made it her fucking life mission to make my life better. She just like, she befriended me day one of junior year. She turned my life around. And because of her, I loved my high school experience. Yeah. It's just, her name is Bethany. It's just not that fucking hard to do that.
We've discussed Bethany before.
Yeah.
And your kid doesn't have to make it their life's mission.
Right.
I, like, Bethany, she's above it. She's a unicorn,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
But, like, you see, I just don't understand, like, what is the protocol with the conversation at home when someone sees someone sitting alone at lunch? And if you don't want to invite them to your friends, like, can you maybe teach your kid to go sit with them or ask them a question or say hi, introduce yourself?
And, like, Daisy and I have had the conversation about how, like, Daddy and I are both gay. That means, like, when we were in high school, it was kind of hard for us. People weren't always nice. And, like, having to explain, like, what it's like to be different and what that means and how that was for us. And I think you can teach empathy in your kids. Not everybody can be taught empathy.
No, not everyone.
But I think most people can.
You can try. You can show. Hell, try.
Exactly.
And here's the thing about having kids. The goals. Keep them alive.
Totally. If you're doing that, you're nailing it.
And raise them to be decent.
Yeah. Tell them you love them every now and then. You know what I mean?
Like, make them feel loved. And that was the first thing I thought of. And I was like, oh, this might be controversial. Am I going to get in trouble for saying teach your kids to be nice to the kid who's sitting alone at lunch?
Nope. I don't think that anyone's going to have any controversy over that.
You know? You don't have to take it on.
You know, fam, I want to hear from you in the Facebook group. I weigh in on this. How, like, do we think we should be teaching our kids to be nice to other kids at school?
Well, what do you put it that way.
I want to hear your thoughts. I really do. I want to hear your experience with this.
Yeah. So we meet Sarah Beth Myers. Love her.
Where's her documentary?
Love her.
She's the best.
She's a former federal prosecutor. She prosecuted the piece of shit in this case. His name is Tad Cummins. Sarah Beth says, and this is what I love. These women are really pulling back the curtain on this. Things we know, but they're saying it in ways that are really accessible. And like you were saying, like, to sit in that uncomfortability about what this all means and how something like this happens.
Yeah.
Because she says,
Tad Cummins is the perfect example of an in-person grooming process with an authority figure who had unique access to a child in very vulnerable circumstances. And Mary Catherine is a perfect example of how an abuser would find someone who has particularly vulnerable characteristics.
Unique access. And I want to say, he was her health teacher. They're talking about—
Is that what it was?
They're talking about bodies. It's an intimate kind of thing to be talking about with teenagers anyway. So I just want to say that. But he was this authority figure. He had unique access to a child in very vulnerable circumstances.
Because remember, like, she's new to the school. She doesn't know anybody. She doesn't have any friends. Nobody's parents taught their kids to be nice at that school. So, like, no one's being kind to her. And she's coming from a very, very sheltered upbringing where, like, she does not have a close relationship with her parents. She's a prime target to be groomed.
And she says she doesn't want to say this guy's name. It's a trigger for her. Don't worry, Elizabeth Thomas. We're not going to say it either. We said it once. We had to. Now we're done.
Yeah.
So she meets this guy between her freshman and sophomore year, and he was the cool teacher.
So I want to talk about this a little bit because, like I said, we had this teacher at my school. He ended up being, I mean, as far as I know, he was great, and kids really felt safe in his classroom.
I had
and,
cool teachers too.
Yep. And he was like, it was like you would meet in his classroom, like at, like the bus would drop you off, and everyone would go to his classroom, and like, it was, but even it, there was just something about it that felt off to me. And I just think that boundaries exist for a reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, I'm not trying to take away your kid's favorite cool teacher. I want them to have that. I just want eyes on everybody.
I know.
You know what
it's
I
like
mean?
It's like you want them to have the Mr. Keating from Dead Poets Society.
Yes.
But we can't all be Robin Williams.
No. And like, you know.
Is it Professor Keating? Oh, God.
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
I've been, you know when you get a craving to watch a movie, like you get a craving to eat or drink something. Yeah. I've been craving Dead Poets Society, but I have been, especially after the Tortured Poets Society
came out.
I've been dying to watch it, but I'm a weirdo and it has to be like the perfect temperature outside. It has to be the perfect weather.
Oh,
and now
I'm missing,
it has to be October. It has to be a BER month. So I have months and months to work myself up to it. But I've been like a little fearful to watch it because I know it's just going to totally destroy me again.
Were you a Swing Kids girl?
Was I a Swing Kids girl?
I didn't know if you were going to know what that
soundtrack was.
That
soundtrack, are
know.
You kidding me, Christian
Robert
Bale?
Robert Sean Leonard, I know. Because I had that poster in my room.
Oh,
I was like obsessed.
The 1-2 punch, the 1-2-3 punch of like the Newsies, Swing Kids, Dead Poets era.
Well, how about Strictly Ballroom?
That I missed.
Okay, that
but
was
I know,
a Baz Luhrmann. Oh my God. Fam, go watch Strictly Ballroom. It is so good.
I know that it is. It was just never in my like constant rotation.
Oh, I wish you and I had known each other like in middle school and high school because we would have liked the same boys.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean?
So.
Anyway, just keep eyes on the teachers. Teachers, thank you for being. Look, I love, well, maybe nurses, but I love teachers like number two.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to disparage teachers in any way. I just remember looking at this guy and clocking him and being like, that's what everybody felt about this teacher over here. And this guy obviously is giving the great teachers a bad name.
Of course. I mean, Ashley, my best friend Ashley, has been a teacher forever and she's an assistant principal now.
Yay, Ashley!
So proud. But they call her Miss Ashley.
Yeah.
But I do think there's something, and they've always called her Miss Ashley from the first time I like visited her at work, which was like, oh my God, I could cry. It's so, she's so amazing. But like, she's doing such good work in New York City and like with kids and they need her so
and the
much.
Cat.
And I'm just, and the cat,
macaroni.
Oh my God. Even though he knocked her down the stairs and she like fractured. She got like a bone fracture.
He knocked her down the stairs.
Okay.
Excuse me?
That was wrong, macaroni. I'm sorry. He was so little.
Justice for macaroni.
He was going to get neutered. And he
Look, you try to neuter me, I'm going to knock somebody down the stairs.
Okay, but
you know
you're
what
a
I
cat,
mean?
So please spay neuter your pets. But they were walking down the stairs and he's so teeny tiny and she tripped over him and they both went flying down the stairs. He was totally fine. He got neutered.
No.
He's fine. But she had like a bone fracture.
No, is she okay?
She's totally fine. We were supposed to hang out that night and she was like, so something happened. Oh. I was like, oh no.
She's like, macaroni
is everyone
hit me.
All right? But yes, with macaroni and the kids of New York.
Oh
but,
God. Well, anyway, they're saying this piece of shit teacher, Elizabeth is saying to us,
the early attention I got from him made me feel, I guess, cared about at the time. It made me feel like someone actually seen me versus, you know, just being ignored like I was at home. I felt like someone might actually, you know, love me and care about me. I thought I was loved by this person as a child and knowing that I did need it and I was looking for someone to be safe with.
He was the exact opposite of her home life where she felt ignored and not cared for. This guy made a safe space for her. He was always there for her.
And not just her, like other students in her high school, his room was the safe space. What she says, whenever I was stressed out, I just went there.
Yeah.
And again, they don't say it here, but they do mention he's a health teacher.
Yeah.
And also, can we take health class a little more seriously?
I know
it's not AP physics, but based on the state of this country, we need like kids.
My health class
learn.
Was so fucking awesome in high school.
Really?
It was incredible. Talked about everything. We talked about like sex. We talked about gay stuff. This is the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah. My health class was awesome.
Well, you're like one of the only ones.
It's such a joke. I know.
And it shouldn't be.
No, it's very serious.
Anyway, but again, I'm saying that because that can be intimate. You're talking about these things that can be uncomfortable for kids.
Yes.
And it's just like now this guy.
I know,
the health teacher has the safe space.
It's awful. So Prosecutor Sarah is here to define grooming for us. And she's saying grooming is when a person in a position of authority who knows and understands what a person in a vulnerable position would like to hear, would like to get, would like to be, and then that person playing into those desires that the younger person would want.
And Elizabeth Thomas is like, she felt at the time that she was seen by him.
Yes.
She was heard by him. And she goes, versus, you know, just being ignored like I was at home.
Right. And Sarah, the prosecutor, is like, I would like to emphasize there is nothing special about this piece of shit. Say it again,
Sarah Beth.
Nothing special about him. He just followed the playbook. You know,
I gotta say, grooming doesn't have to just be sexual. Like, I've seen people groom, like, their peers and their contemporaries.
Yep.
Like, it's not just an authority figure like a teacher, but if someone sort of, like, considers themselves, like, a little more special, which, as we just learned, they're not.
Yeah.
But, like, maybe in the public eye, or they, like, fake being a victim, like, they can groom people to do their bidding for that. Like,
oh, my God, like, 100%.
Grooming is not just sexual, but it's a very dangerous thing that can happen, and it happens all the time.
Yeah.
This, like, perceived...
And it feels like it's something that's brand new to the conversation. You know what I mean? I feel like we know about grooming for, like, sexual abuse. But, like, talking about that kind of grooming, you know, for online bullying and all of that.
Of course.
Like, I think this is new to the conversation.
Yeah, well, whatever. It's not.
No, I'm saying it's been happening for a long time, but we're kind of just waking up to it as a culture.
And I think that's another thing people don't want to, you know, people will say, well, I've never joined a cult. I'd never do this. Uh-huh. They don't want to really look in the mirror and be like, oh my God, I fell for this horrible person.
I know.
And now I've been doing horrible things for them, like different kinds of grooming.
Yeah.
But this piece of shit made Elizabeth Thomas feel safe because he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
You know, she didn't feel safe or she didn't feel loved or cared for at home. And he knew exactly what to do.
Well, but then she says, because like this was just the beginning. That's the grooming part. She says,
I don't know when that switch had happened where he started sexually assaulting me. But it just went from one extreme to the other. And, you know, there was no getting out. There was no telling him no. It felt like I had no way out.
Then she just lives in total fear of him.
Because remember, this doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't start with the inappropriate touching.
Yeah.
But first, he makes her feel comfortable and safe. That's the only place she feels seen and heard and cared for. So when someone does touch your back or your knee, you probably don't think anything of it because he's this amazing safe space.
Yes.
And then when it's egregious, like actual assault, you're trapped.
Yeah, right.
That's how this works.
And there's nobody that you can tell. You think no one's going to believe you, you know? And you're also the new kid. You don't know anybody.
Don't know anybody. And she also explains, like, this is something that we don't really hear, which is like so amazing that she's saying it. But Elizabeth Thomas says, you get addicted to the highs and the lows.
Yes.
You get addicted to the trauma of what's happening to you. Because she says, the lows are awful, but the highs are amazing.
Yeah.
And they do that to reel you in, and then they get a hold of you and they can't let go.
Yep.
So Elizabeth Smart says, like, to just tack on to that, they go from protector to predator.
Yeah.
And it's like for a child who's going through trauma at home anyway, that's impossible to navigate.
And your brain...
It's meant to be confusing.
Exactly, because your brain can't, like, all of a sudden she has a safe space for the first place in her life. She can't lose that, you know?
Right.
So even though he's abusing her, in her brain, he's also the only safe space she has.
And then you start negotiating with yourself.
Exactly.
Because it's like, well, sometimes I'm seen and heard, and it is really awful now, because now Elizabeth Thomas is saying that he was abusing her every day, and he was forcing her to do sexual things that she didn't want to do. And if she said no, he'd be furious. But then she's like, well, I don't want him to say no because he's the only person who's nice to me.
Exactly.
So you start negotiating against yourself to continue to be in this horrifying situation.
And just you can't tell anybody. Nobody knows.
Right.
Because imagine, like, oh God, to play this out from Elizabeth Thomas's perspective, she tells somebody to make it stop. She loses her safe space, but also he goes to jail.
And she's already ostracized. No one's sitting with her at lunch anyway.
Exactly.
And her parents aren't nice to her.
God.
So what is she going to do?
Oh my God. Fam with children, go tell your kids tonight they got to sit with the new kid. Just go home and tell them they got to sit
Ask
with the new kid.
Ask them a question. A little bit goes a long way.
Just
say
nice.
Hi.
Yep.
What are you listening to these days?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I like that bracelet. I don't care.
Right.
Not in the Regina George way.
No.
It's the ugliest effing bracelet I've ever seen.
So you agree I need to lose 3 pounds?
So you agree. You think you're really pretty. Can't sit with us. No, you can sit with us. That's the vibe.
You can. Exactly.
You can sit
TCO,
with us.
You can sit
that's
with
the vibe.
Us.
That's always been the vibe.
Oh my God. That's merch. TCO, you can sit with us.
We have definitely, like, this is not the first time we've said that.
Really?
Oh yeah.
All right.
For sure.
Welcome back to the planet, Patrick.
Yeah, Hines. No, but I'm just saying, like, look how easy it was
to
do that.
I know. Well, I mean, I want to say this. I really mean this from the bottom of my heart. Get into our Facebook group. You are welcome there. If you're having a hard day, where you live, you feel isolated and alone.
Yeah.
We are those kids. We are those kids that are now making this podcast. We want you here.
Totally.
We want you to be with us. Come and find us.
Come and find us and find
God damn
your
it.
People.
I could stand up and scream. I want the West Wing music playing underneath me.
Oh, Captain Mike Captain!
Oh, Captain Mike Captain! I'm going to get on this desk.
So I have to wait till October to watch that movie now.
You don't. You make the rules.
Exactly. I make the rules. And they're
all
very
right.
strict.
Yeah. All right. That works. Because then when you do watch it, you're going to really love it.
I'm going to love it.
You're going to
be so
happy.
Like, I really want...
What's the movie you would watch, like, right? What's the season for this?
What is it, January?
Yeah.
Like, real self-care. Like, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. Fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because Mike and I have been watching a lot of rom-coms.
Yeah.
And, like, chick flicks, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
So I've been introducing him to movies that he hasn't seen. And he's like, McConaughey. He goes, McConaughey is, like, smooth in that.
Oh, yeah.
He's
I
think it's the best McConaughey rom-com,
for sure.
We tried to watch
the coms, the comedies, the dramedies.
Straight to DVDs. That's our friend, Jen Simard.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 27th through July 7th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
So Marcus Albright is the lead detective. He's the captain now, not in the pirate way. It's January. He's just the captain of the force.
Yeah.
January 30th, 2017. The school calls the cops because here's where we're going to slow down on this for a minute.
Yeah.
They report a teacher has been caught kissing a student. No, we're already on the wrong track. There's no such thing as a teacher kissing a student.
Right.
An adult is assaulting a child.
Yes.
A teacher was caught. What, would you walk in on them and apologize?
But I mean, honestly, like, we don't know who the student is who saw this or who reported it, but we know that it was reported and it was not reported by Elizabeth, our victim.
It was handled poorly right away.
Yeah.
Because suddenly the entire school knows and everyone's mad at Elizabeth. How could you do this to the cool teacher, our safe space?
Right, because the idea is that she seduced him. Like, are you fucking kidding
me? It's her fault. He got caught. Can everyone just shut up about it and let us have the cool teacher?
I know.
That's what everyone's saying. And she says, I felt like I had to protect him to protect myself. So she lies to the cops and she goes, I don't know what's happening. There was no kiss at all.
Yeah.
So she's protecting herself from the bullies
and
from her home life and from this now abuser.
And this is where it starts. This is the beginning of her not feeling like the police are a safe space for her.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because right after the police interview...
After my police interview, he cornered me in his room and he asked me what I told them. And that was the scariest thing, looking into his eyes and just being so scared of what is he going to do to me. Even though I tried to assure him, I didn't tell him anything. It just felt like he's, you know, basically told me, if you did tell anybody, you know what would happen.
She was terrified looking into his eyes.
Yeah.
The rage that she saw there.
As she's apologizing to him and saying, don't worry, I won't do anything.
I mean...
She didn't do anything.
She didn't do anything.
So January... We get to a little bit of a timeline here. January 23rd, 2017, Kiss reported, is what the on-screen text says. Another student, saw them kissing and reported it. Not, again, this teacher is doing something inappropriate with my friend.
Yeah. Right.
A teacher was caught kissing a student.
Exactly.
Or a student was caught kissing a teacher.
Seducing the teacher in the health room. Yeah.
So by February 1st, 2017, the piece of shit has his first interview with the cops.
He comes into the...
He's a nervous wreck.
A nervous wreck. He looks like a bag of shit, this guy.
You can see how heavy he's breathing. You can see his shirt moving, like his heart is beating out of his chest.
Yeah.
And now his version is that witness was lying. No one has kissed anyone ever. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So they ask him, what is your relationship with Beth?
Yes.
And he says, I'm a person that has been alongside her and that she comes to from time to time for counsel. I mean, the answer is I'm her health teacher.
Exactly.
Like, period, end of sentence.
Period, end of story.
What's with the word salad?
Right.
I counsel her from time to time. You're her fucking health teacher, bro.
I mean,
bro.
Is he, like, setting up the scene to be like, she's making this up because she's obsessed with me?
Well, because now we get this, like, long-winded story.
Yeah.
And it's one of those situations where, like, you're just digging yourself deeper. Stay stupid. Keep talking.
Yeah.
But even the cover-up's bad. Because
imagine you're this fucking drip, right? Like, you're in the police station. He thinks he's going to jail at the end of this interview. Like, this man is fighting for his life.
Right.
And he's like a herb fighting for his life.
Oh my God, fucking herbs, man. And so, this is his long-winded story. And again, just shut up, but really keep talking.
Right. It's very To Catch a Predator. It's like, if he's like, I want a lawyer, then all of a sudden,
you know what I mean?
They always do. They always sit down.
Oh my God.
They always
take a chair. Those actors, hey, I'm just gonna change out of my cheerleading outfit. I'll be right back. Those poor women.
Those, like, 40-year-old women who look like they're 13.
I mean, I know. Must be so, like, what's the mental health protocol with that?
The first time you ever did one of those, like, when
they get them out of that room so fast.
I'm just going to change out of my cheerleading costume. Don't worry, I'll bring the condoms.
I mean, that's literally, literally. Or she's like, did you bring the booze and the condoms and the porn? She's looking, she's halfway.
I know.
Looking at him. Did you bring it? And halfway there's like Chris Hansen and the cops on the other, in their
den. Absolutely fucking terrifying to be that actress.
Oh, no. Oh, the actress, yes. I was going to say, the guy's like, oh, no. Well, I mean,
this guy right now, like, he's busted. He knows the jig is up. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
so he just is a nervous talker. Nervous talker. Because he goes,
she had got into somewhat of a confrontation with her math teacher, asked to go to the restroom, grabbed her backpack, and the teacher protested her taking her backpack, and she said she had to have it because she was on her period and needed stuff out of there.
Okay.
Hi, I'm on my period, so I need it.
Yeah.
Very Cher Horowitz.
I mean, the
thing
that
is... Crimson Wave, I had to haul ass to the ladies.
All I know is that if Daisy came home and told me that she was going to the bathroom and the teacher said, don't take your bag, and she had to explain to them that she was having her period, I would burn the school to the ground.
Well, it's like, how do you know? Why are you talking to her about her period?
Exactly.
Why does every teacher seem to know everything?
I know.
Like, it's all inappropriate across the board.
Yes.
And now, did this even happen?
Right.
I don't know.
But Sarah, the prosecutor, is like, this is crazy. None of this ever should have fucking happened.
Because he continues, he says, well, all of this was taking place in front of the entire class, and it was really hard for Elizabeth because she had a panic attack, and you know, she does that sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So this is when Sarah Beth is like, I'm sorry.
Right.
Why does he know all of these intimate details of her life from her period, her
right.
history of panic attacks?
Yeah, and Sarah is saying that he's placing himself as the hero in her story. Like, come to me when you're having the panic attack. You come to me when you're having the fight with the math teacher.
And now, everyone, just a reminder, this is meant to make him look innocent to the cops.
Right.
Just to be clear, the lies
they're
he's
never
telling
good at this.
Right now
yeah.
is supposed to make the cops go, oh, never mind. You're just
get
talking to
here,
the 14-year-old about her period
all
the time. And don't give me that shit. I'm the health teacher. Stop.
I know.
Oh, I do this, I do that. This is the lie that he's using to make himself look good. Everyone,
like,
we're caught up.
He definitely never, in his mind, at least even built up a cover story to tell the cops someday should he ever be questioned about it.
He
like,
didn't.
He's flying by the seat of his disgusting pants.
This is not someone who thinks a mere centimeter ahead.
No.
And the cops ask him, because he's like, I just felt so bad for her. And the cops are like, why? Like, why do you feel bad for her? And he goes,
because I'm the nicest guy you're ever going to encounter in every situation.
Tad Cummins is saying, I'm the greatest guy you'll ever meet. Those are little things that people inadvertently say about themselves when they're really trying to sell themselves as being not a bad guy. And when all that really does is tell us that they're probably trying to hide something or they're a bad guy.
All that tells us is he's a fucking creepy dirtbag.
But he continues, I'm so religious, that means nothing. I'm so amazing. After he heard about this awful situation with the period and the backpack, he prayed.
And
oh,
prayed,
God,
and prayed. And
I'm not going to let Satan have her. And God's like, bitch. Also, now that we're here, God?
Yeah.
Could you have stepped
God
in?
God, girl? I know. Look.
God, sometimes you just don't come through. I will quote Tori Amos all the time with
I'm
that.
Telling you, you know I'm a God believer. You know I'm a prayer. I don't understand why she allows the suffering.
Apparently,
I really
it's free will.
Okay. Oh.
Whatever, man. Just
I know.
Step in, girl.
But just for a fucking minute.
For like a second.
I know.
That would be great.
God needs a podcast.
God, sometimes you just don't come through. If you
we'll
don't know that Tori Amos song,
we'll
look
call it
up.
The Godcast.
No.
Come on. Godcast.com.
You know the two, that they're definitely, hopefully, two gay nuns doing this, right?
The conviction that you were hoping it was two gay nuns. I know. It's Sister Mary Frances and Sister Mary Michael.
Whatever.
You know what
I'll
mean?
I'll take it.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Running God.
Or just Kathy Najimy from Sister Act.
I'll take that, too.
Okay. Anyway, this guy just keeps talking.
Sister Mary Michael.
Everything he's saying is a red flag. He's telling the cops how he grooms the kids.
Yeah.
Because he's just like, no, you don't understand. I'm the safe space.
Yeah.
I'm the adult that they go to, not at home.
No.
I'm the cool teacher. They can always talk to me. They're always texting me.
Now, that stopped me cold.
They're able to text me about all the different things going on in the day.
If I found out that Daisy was texting a teacher, once again, I would burn the fucking school down.
And again, the health teacher.
I know.
You think he's not using this? What's going on with your body? What are you confused about? You can talk to me about anything. You know you can't talk to your mom about that weird stuff going on down there, right?
Absolutely.
But you can talk to me.
Talk to me about it. And by the way, her mother is like, yeah, you can't talk to me about
it. No, you can't talk
to
me
about it. You know what I mean? Like, but that's why she's a prime target to be groomed, you know?
Exactly.
You gotta love your kids. You gotta pay attention to your kids.
And the cops are just like, everyone, play it as cool as possible.
He said texting.
He's like digging this hole, and it's glorious.
It's cool. But like the texting is, because it also stops the cops dead in their tracks.
Right. And they're like, talk more about the texting.
Right.
And he's
the
like,
totally
no
normal texting.
Super normal. That is not an issue for anyone. Carl, sip it. Continue.
Carl in the fucking mouth.
And he's like, I will continue.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He goes, well, Beth called my phone and told me that she was going to speak to police. And I just said, you know what? You tell the cops the truth. Everything's going to be okay. The cops are like, cool story, bro. Can we see your phone? No.
I know.
He goes, they want to see the text with Beth. And I'm like, and the other 14-year-olds?
Well, right. And he says, he's like,
I don't have those texts still on my phone from yesterday.
Why not?
Because I got rid of them. I got rid of that yesterday because it felt weird to me.
Right. But I mean, it may feel weird to you, but you know what it looks like to us, right?
Sure.
Because they made me uncomfortable.
Right.
Same. It was weird. They freaked me out. And I'm like, wait, first of all, this is the weird part.
Right.
Second, don't you see that those texts could maybe help you if they're as innocent as you say, which they could never help you?
Of course. And the cops don't believe him for a second.
No.
You know what I mean? But like, of course, if I'm a teacher and some kid has gotten my number and has texted me, not only am I saving those text messages, I am showing them to my priest. I am showing them to my husband.
You're calling their parents.
Yes.
Or you're going to whoever's like in charge of school.
I'm driving to the police station to be like, this kid just texted me.
I don't know what to do.
You know what I mean? He asked me what the homework was tonight, and I thought he was coming on. I thought
it's
it was too
crazy.
Much. You know?
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And but it also like in the same breath, everything is totally fine, nothing to see here. This is very normal.
Yeah.
To those texts made me super uncomfortable.
Exactly.
Which is it?
And so I had to delete them because I couldn't look at them.
It was weird. They freaked me out. So he's spiraling, right?
Totally.
Obviously. The cops are also being way too fucking nice to him.
Yeah.
And now he's crying. And now he's crying. Poor him. I was just trying to do a nice thing, and now I'm here. Really?
I know. But this is what Sarah, the prosecutor, says. She's like, she's watching the video, and she's like, this is the moment he knew he had to do something. If he was going to have this girl all to himself, this was the moment he knew he had to do something.
Because he goes from nothing to see here to I'm uncomfortable to now he's crying.
And I ain't done anything.
Right.
I ain't done nothing wrong, but I came in here not knowing if I was going to jail.
Right. And he becomes very emotional and basically says that he thought he was going to jail today and that he's very thankful that he's not.
I'm more afraid than I've ever been in my life.
Right. And I felt like at that point, the witness probably did see them kissing.
Crying out of gratitude for them not throwing him in jail tonight.
And now I'm here. I was just trying to do a nice thing. So,
how do you think this guy's going to do in jail?
Not great. Not great.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue. You pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
So January 23rd, 2017, the kiss was reported, right? February 1st, 2017, the piece of shit has his first interview with police. And by March 13th, about a month and a half later, Elizabeth Thomas says, I was groomed into leaving. I was in fear of my life.
Now, the one thing I want to say about poor Elizabeth is it feels to me like she feels like even in this interview, she's got to justify her actions.
I know.
By saying I was groomed into leaving. It's like, girl, we know. Like, it makes me feel for her. Like, we believe you.
But
we believe you.
I hear that. But I think it's good to be normalizing these words and phrases. And this is how we talk about it. She wasn't kidnapped. She was, but she was groomed into leaving. That's important to say.
I guess that's true. Right? Right? Yeah. I guess you're right. It felt like, remember, like, this interview is going to be over and she's going to have to go to the grocery store and deal with fucking Samantha from down the street who doesn't believe her.
Samantha, shut up. Wrong side of history, Samantha. Great.
Where were you on January 6th, Samantha?
I mean, please. So this guy convinced her that leaving with him was her only option.
Yes.
Either she lives with him forever somewhere or people get hurt. He will hurt her. He'll hurt himself. He'll hurt others.
Her family.
And he made it very clear that he would kill someone, quote, if he needed to. He's not taking no for an answer, this guy.
This is the fucking safe space health teacher. You know what I mean?
Health teacher.
Like, oh my God.
And Elizabeth Smart says, she goes, look, everyone knows about fight or flight.
This was so interesting.
Everyone knows that term, right?
Yeah.
But there's actually freeze and appease as well. And all four of these are natural reactions. Elizabeth Thomas's story portrays that so perfectly, where someone from the outside could look at it and be like, oh, well, she looks like she's going along with it. She looks like it's fine. But actually what she was doing was surviving.
She wasn't just like fine going along with it. She's surviving.
Right.
She's surviving.
And she's, in her mind at least, and maybe true, she's saving other people. If I just go with him, no one's going to get hurt.
Yeah.
And she's like, I can take care of myself, she's thinking.
Right.
You
and
know?
Women everywhere know freeze and appease.
Yes.
So it's like, oh, why didn't you just tell the guy, no, I'm not going to give your number. I don't know, because I might be fucking killed later.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So you make up the lie about the fake whoever. You make up what you do what you have to do to get out of an unsafe situation.
It is a different planet for men and women.
It's a totally different planet.
I mean, I know that that is so fucking obvious. It's like annoying to even say out loud.
Yeah.
But it just is.
It is.
It's you know?
It is. So March 13th, 2017, Elizabeth Thomas and the piece of shit leave town.
Yeah.
By March 14th, 2017, this piece of shit is reported missing by his wife because she and their daughters
I know.
Been calling and texting him and haven't heard back, but he left a note. Don't worry.
Yeah.
We hear the wife read the note to the cops over the phone.
Will you do us the honors?
Sure. This is her reading the note. Jill, I'm so sorry. I'm on my way to Virginia Beach or maybe DC just to think and clear my mind of all this crap. But I'm not running away. I'm not running away. I will be back. Whatever you do, do not call the cops. They're going to think I ran because I'm guilty. And I am not guilty.
I am not.
I love you all. I'll see you soon. Please forgive me. And that's how she ends the saying it, which is such a like a human way.
I'm sorry, how does it end?
Because she goes like, I love you and I'll call you soon. Please forgive me.
I know.
And which is such a way that you like read a note to someone.
This poor wife, because not only that,
he packed every coat he has, but I also noticed he packed all his shorts. Both of his guns are gone and the $4,000.
He bailed, and he was hoping that the stupid note would buy him a day or two before his wife calls the cops.
Because when
jokes on you, idiot. She called right away.
Fam, when you find out where he tried to go and how he tried to get there, it is unbelievable.
This guy's an idiot.
Such an idiot.
And I really hope his daughters are okay, and I hope he wasn't abusing his wife.
Same, same, same. And they're not always stupid. This guy is such a fucking moron.
He's a moron. So, you know who loves that he's a moron?
Yeah.
Tyler and Sterling.
Oh, Tyler and Sterling are the best.
So Tyler
Sterling's been dealing with that hair all of his life. He's got these really tight blonde ringlets. I think they're gorgeous. You know he hates them.
I know.
You know what I mean? They're beautiful, Sterling. You just have to accept them.
Right. I think he's accepted.
You think so? All right.
I think so.
They also, like every FBI people we ever meet, they are very calm. You know what I mean?
Oh, they've seen it all. Tyler Sells is from the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation. He's the lead agent on the case. And Sterling Wall is special agent FBI. So they're on high alert because this guy has guns.
Yeah.
What is he capable of? They're expecting the worst and hoping for the best.
Because what they make clear is this guy's got a day or two before he's out of cash or before like there's a police altercation. And what is he going to do in that moment?
Right.
They are very worried that he is going to kill Elizabeth.
And the day Elizabeth went missing, she told her sister, if I'm not home by 6, call the police,
yes.
Which is a major red flag.
I mean, and thank God she had the foresight to do it.
Right, right. But also, this idiot's wife called.
Yes.
Because he left the worst goodbye note ever.
I know.
The more you say, don't call the cops, I'm coming right back, everything's fine, the less fine it is. Hello?
Like, what's a note he could have left that could have bought him a day?
Nothing.
Right? Totally. Like,
there's
nothing that he could have said. You know what I mean?
Like, I went back to, I'll be right back. I went to buy you whatever. At least, like, throw some confusion. Haven't you watched an episode of The Traitors once in your life? You need to confuse everybody. If you want to buy yourself some time.
I know. I'm just like, I mean, it was never going
to
go well.
No. Because if he says, oh, be right back, went out to buy bread or whatever, at least she'll be like, what? Like, she would wait a few hours. She would call around. But for him to be like, do not call the cops. Everything is fine. I just have to clear my head about this whole abuse thing I've been doing.
Right.
It's not going to work.
In Virginia Beach or DC, not sure.
Not sure.
We'll
like,
let you know
what?
When I get.
Shut up. I know. So the cops like ping the phones, right?
So from the very beginning, when we pinged their phones, it was right across the state line in Alabama. They traveled south right there on 65. Well, of course, we were very excited that now we know in the general direction of where they are. but then their phone goes off. And so there's no more availability to track them.
And then they see that the phones are turned off.
And we're going to learn, they're going to be able to pinpoint the actual spot where they threw them in the river.
Well, here's the thing that's, I'm sorry to be like a bummer.
Yeah.
But something that really stuck with me.
It's kind of a sad episode.
It's horrible.
You're in good company.
But what really stuck with me is that they say the phones were thrown into the river. No, he had Elizabeth throw them off the bridge. So he, like, which is so cruel because yeah. she's throwing away
her only connection to the outside world.
I hate that.
And hearing her say it, she says that. She's like, this was my last connection. Thank God she told her sister to call. I mean, obviously the cops would have been called anyway, but at least in her mind, she knows.
She said something.
At some point, somebody hopefully is going to come looking for me.
Right. And Elizabeth Thomas says, you know, she explains that he was sexually assaulting her multiple times a day. She was completely trapped.
Yeah.
And she did what she was told to stay alive.
Because she says, she's like, I know there are so many TV shows and documentaries about women who just are murdered or just go missing, and I didn't want to be one of those people. So she complied. She just did what she had to do to stay alive. So everybody in this fucking town, this is the story. This is what happened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
She's a child and he's an adult also. End of fucking story.
Exactly.
Because she's also thinking, maybe he'd take her back.
Right.
Maybe it would all be over soon.
Yes.
Like, if she just stayed alive, maybe.
And I think at that point you learn to live minute to minute. Like, how do I survive the next minute?
And now the cops are on social media looking for clues.
Yeah.
And this is so crazy to see because the day before the abduction, the guy posted, "You're all my heart ever talk," like a meme on Instagram.
Yeah.
"You're all my heart ever talks about." And like hashtag strong, unbreakable love.
I mean.
But Elizabeth posted too. You know those memes where it's like a quote?
Yeah.
"I'm glad I met you. I hope you know that. Going good. Mission almost completed." So she like. She is completely groomed and just, like, he told her, do this or else. And this is why she's doing it.
Yes.
So the team gets a tip that Elizabeth and this guy are in Oklahoma City, that they checked into some hotel.
And they also had gone shopping at a Walmart, and they're able to get the video, and they see her, and they see her alive.
Big win.
And that is, like, Sterling and Tyler are like, okay, we know this was a couple days ago, but still, as of, like, 2 days ago, Elizabeth was alive.
And both of these women, Elizabeth Smart and Elizabeth Thomas, are explaining that in both of their situations, they were both too scared to say anything in public.
Yes.
Like, you can be looking at this, and if you don't know any better, you can be like, why didn't she run? Why didn't she signal to the person at Walmart? And like, both of these Elizabeths, these women are saying, we didn't know what to do.
Right.
And they knew what he would do to them. They couldn't risk anything. They're 14 years old and they're terrified.
No.
And it's not their job.
And Elizabeth Smart says this thing that she was like, you know, I was also just as scared when I was rescued, when the cops showed up. And she says,
I didn't necessarily know what the police were capable of, but I definitely knew what my captor was capable of.
I didn't want to end up dead. I was so scared of dying in his hands that I was too scared to say anything. I'd rather endure this pain that he was giving me versus ending up dead.
But I knew what my captor was capable
of. Of course,
you know?
And the FBI guys are like, the public has a really hard time seeing people like this guy as predators. Because like, oh, he's a teacher. He'd never do that.
And he's so dopey looking.
You know
what I mean? Like, he looks like he can't be terrifying. But it's like, well, you weren't groomed by him for a year and a half.
Right.
You know?
And the law enforcement guys, the Leos, are just like, no, he's a teacher.
Yeah.
He has more opportunity to do something like
this. Yes. Right. Because they're saying that the predator doesn't always look like the creepy guy in the van. Right.
Yeah.
That like the pastor and the camp counselor and the teacher, they've got direct access to your kids. The fucking gymnastics coaches that we always talk about.
Yes.
Gymnastics coaches, I know that most 99.9% of you are incredible.
I know. We've just done like two documentaries on you. I'm just saying. I know.
It's an
intimate thing. Doctors.
Yes. Of course.
You know?
Exactly.
It's very scary.
Yeah.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
So this piece of shit's plan was go to California, buy kayaks, kayak to Mexico.
This is...
And from Mexico, make their way to South America via kayak.
It is so unbelievable. It is like they were going to kayak in the open ocean for 15 miles to get around U.S. customs at the Mexican border.
And that was never going to work.
I mean, what on earth?
And the plan was abandoned in 2 seconds flat because Elizabeth Thomas talks about, like,
it just gave me more of a fear of dying. Being in the water and
you know, during a small boat advisory and the waves being so big, like we almost capsized a couple times. It was just happening out of my control and I couldn't do anything about it.
So now she's terrified because it's the ocean.
I mean,
and the water's really rough and they're almost capsizing. And this is adding to her stress and her trauma.
15 miles. That guy doesn't look like he can walk a mile. He's gonna kayak 15 miles.
What did I say? This is a guy who does not think one inch ahead, 1 centimeter ahead.
I mean, the idea is so preposterous.
And then, but it's also, you're going to get eyes on you. Who is that guy kayaking in the ocean? Does that child need help?
What's going on over there?
Does that child need help?
Like,
it just gets eyes on you, which, again, good.
Thank God.
But I'm just saying, like, you're not thinking about this, you idiot.
No, but then if they got to Mexico, they were then going to hitchhike to South America, where he had done mission work. They were going to get married. And I was like, can we leave whatever small little town in whatever South American country it is alone?
I know.
These poor fucking people do not want to harbor your disgusting health teacher ass.
No, but guess what? So the plan is abandoned. They're out of the kayaks.
Yeah.
And they head north for some other, like, off-the-grid place to go. And now they're in the mountains of Northern California.
Yes.
And now the story's everywhere.
It's national news.
There are people all over the country who know about this. They're seeing their photos. Their photos are everywhere. And this guy, everyone, brace yourselves, pull over. A tip line works.
Right.
This guy calls the tip line and he's like, I work at this cabin that's not even fully constructed yet.
No.
And they're squatting in this cabin.
No, we see the cabin, right? And we're going to see inside this cabin in a minute. And we're going to be reminded that one of the ways that this piece of shit was able to get her to do what she did was by telling her that he was saving her.
Right.
Saving her from her horrible home life, her disgusting house with her horrible family.
And she, and like all the kids that were mean to her.
Yeah.
And when you're a kid and you're traumatized, you're kind of like, well?
Well, but we see inside this cabin, the promised land where he took her. It was disgusting. There's no heating. There's no plumbing.
It was someone else's cabin that they were building.
It looks like it's where you put the lawnmower.
Right.
It looks like a shed in your backyard.
That is, now imagine that, but now it's half finished.
Exactly.
Because the guy who calls says it wasn't even fully constructed yet. It was four walls and a roof. Like, there's nothing to it.
Yes.
So, like, there's no way. They couldn't have stayed there for long.
No. And so I love that Sterling and Tyler call the guy from the tip line. They're like, girl, are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you positive, girl?
And he's like, yes, send someone over here.
And they send the local sheriff and they fucking get the guy. And we see, this is my favorite part of the whole thing. We see video of this Cummins dirtbag, like handcuffed and sitting on a rock. And he looks rough.
Yeah.
He looks like he hasn't showered in days. He looks like he was just trying to kayak to Mexico.
Like, he looks it. It's been 39 days. So they get him 39 days after the abduction. This piece of shit is arrested and Mary Catherine Elizabeth Thomas is rescued.
I gotta tell you, he looks grateful for having been arrested. He looks like thank fucking God I don't have to do this anymore.
Oh my God.
You
what
know?
An asshole.
What an idiot.
And so, but Elizabeth Smart says, sure, of course there's relief when you're found, but there's also a lot of fear because
when law enforcement comes in, that's kind of like throwing in an unknown into the mix. When I was found, my initial reaction was fear. All I could think of was, what if the police don't believe me? What if they believe my captors and they don't believe me? What will happen to me?
The abductor is the devil you know.
Right.
And now you're thrown into this world that you never thought you'd really be in again.
Yep.
And the world is all out to get you. And now it's terrifying. And what if no one believes me? Or what if I have to go back to this guy?
Right.
What if he breaks out of jail and he kills me? Because that's what he tells me he's going to do.
He does the Jeffrey Dahmer thing when the cops brought the kid back to Jeffrey Dahmer. The kid that escaped, they brought him back.
Or like Ted Bundy, I'm not making a joke, but like jumping out of a second story window.
Yes.
Like sometimes these guys fucking against hope, they break out.
I know.
And this is what he's been telling her for 39 days.
Yeah.
So Elizabeth Thomas also, this is infuriating. She says that the police left them alone at a picnic table.
This is wild.
I don't know why they were allowed to even have a conversation.
I know.
Unsupervised. But this guy's telling her to refuse medical care.
Yeah.
He's still trying to control her. It's over, bro.
He's like, don't consent to a physical exam. Don't consent to a sexual assault evidence collection kit. Like, nothing that can prove what he's been doing
to her.
He's
telling her to refuse everything and then to lie about how she got the injuries.
And she tells Elizabeth Smart,
you know, I had markings on my neck that had healed beforehand, but he had told me that, you know, this is what you're going to tell people, like that I fell off a cliff and he was trying to save me, and that's the reason I had marks on my neck. In reality, it's because he had choked me so violently.
He was strangling me violently. And Elizabeth Smart has such a visceral reaction to that.
And she says, she goes, no one wants to hear this because it makes them uncomfortable, but I don't care.
Yes.
I'm tired of being quiet about it.
Yes.
I'm tired of being quiet about it. And like, this guy was telling her,
I'm going to show you the world.
I'm rescuing you.
Yes. I'm going to show you everything. And there's this really sad moment where Sarah, the prosecutor, is like, she got to see the ocean. You know what I mean? And it's one of those things that, like, when you're Elizabeth Thomas, it must be confusing.
It's the negotiating against yourself. I never would have been able to see this. It's not that bad, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yes, it is.
Right.
But you get to a point where you're gaslighting yourself and like, well,
yeah,
my mom was mean. I told my sister to call the cops, not my mother.
Right, exactly.
Like, what do I have back there anyway?
And then
suddenly you say that, he says it to you, and you say it to yourself, and you're isolated, and then you're like, well, what's so bad about this anyway?
Because then I'm like, if the plan had worked, and they kayaked to Mexico, and they hitchhiked to South America, was she really going to marry him and live with him
like,
in some
forcibly,
village somewhere?
Of course, like, against her will, yeah.
Oh, my God.
But, like, you can understand, hopefully, if you have empathy, that you could see why she'd think, well,
of course,
to stay alive.
But that's why they pick these victims, you know?
Right. So this piece of shit pleads guilty, which means there won't be a trial, which is amazing news for Elizabeth Thomas, because that's also very traumatizing.
It is amazing news for Elizabeth Thomas. And if that's what she wanted, then great. But now the town looks at her and they're like, well, you're an able-bodied young. They think of her as a young woman, even though she
isn't.
Right. She's 14, 15. You could have run out of the car. You could have, in the Walmart, you could have asked for help.
Well, I think that's why she's doing it now.
Right.
She did. It wasn't right for her to do it then, and I'm sure every
Not saying you wait until you're ready, of course, but it just or move out of that town. Like, I just hate that she has to live there.
I know. So he was sentenced to 20 years in prison, and Mary Catherine Elizabeth Thomas, I just want to say all her names because sometimes some people call her by Mary Catherine, and we've been saying Elizabeth Thomas, but she's fine. Like, she's getting to a point where she's like, I didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
Like, fuck everyone else. It wasn't her fault.
Yeah.
This awful community that was victim blaming her. She's like, I'm not a bad person.
Right.
I didn't ruin the cool teacher. He was never the cool teacher to begin with.
Right.
She didn't do anything wrong.
And until she has therapy and mental health services, maybe she's starting to think, yeah, they're right. I could have run away. Why didn't I run away?
Right.
She had to be therapized into understanding that she was groomed.
And,
you know,
finding love, because she says there is love after trauma.
Oh, my God.
She got married to Skylar on June 15th, 2019. She's wearing in the photos this super cute dress in Converse.
They can't look at each other without getting the church giggles.
The two of them
are
completely enthralled.
I'm obsessed with him. He says,
I'm trying to be the best man I can be for her, to hold her up when she's feeling low and make her feel like the queen of England, and, you know, make her feel like the most important woman in the world. Like, there's no other person that could take my heart away from hers.
Make her feel like the queen of England.
That's right, Skylar.
I love him.
That's right, Skylar. And they're just totally in love with each other. They have the giggles. They can't stop laughing. The photos are so cute.
Be the Skylar you want to see in the world,
you
everybody.
Know? And then Elizabeth's like, with that support, he's helping her be there for other survivors, just like Elizabeth Smart, which is like why we were all here to begin with,
why we
did this sad, uncomfortable thing. But like, sometimes you gotta look and
you
see
gotta
the
look
uncomfortable
at,
shit.
You know, Elizabeth Smart is saying to her in the end, like, Elizabeth Thomas is saying to Elizabeth Smart, I want to change the world. I want to do what you're doing. I want to be an advocate and an activist. And Elizabeth Smart is saying, like, you're going to do it,
you're
girl.
You're doing it.
You're doing it right now.
Agreeing to sit down or feeling ready to sit down.
Yes.
I want to use the right words, the most respectful words there. She's doing it.
Yeah.
Like, these two women are amazing. And it's like, they both sort of came together to bring what they could offer in this moment, where Elizabeth Smart sort of gave Elizabeth Thomas this is the true safe space
that she
needed.
Yes, yes.
And now she has it. Now we're here. And Skylar, keep it up.
Keep it up. Keep it up.
Keep it up.
Oh my God, girl, we did.
It's the Elizabeth Thomas story with Elizabeth Smart.
In 8 years, I've never known the name of it at the end. I've never known.
I know. You've been better at it the last few weeks. I was thinking, oh, you must have written it in his notes.
I didn't. Oh my God. Fam, join the Facebook group. Over 59,000 people in the group.
Yep.
Sharing memes, just like suggesting docs. That's where we tell you what we're up to. That's where we sort of hang out with you.
And like we were saying earlier, a lot of people, if you just moved somewhere or you're feeling lonely or you're going through a breakup, friend breakup, relationship breakup, whatever, like, just give a shout. And
yes.
I promise you, you'll get a response.
You will find hundreds of people that just want to be your pal.
Yeah.
Girl, what are we doing next?
So we are doing a 2020 episode. It's called A Puzzling Murder, but it's the murder of Lita McClinton. So it's season 47, episode 6. It's a really important episode, a really important story.
Did you say the prosecutor is doing a puzzle the whole time?
Yes. He loves puzzles and it helps him figure out the case. And so he's doing a puzzle with Deborah Roberts the whole time, and wait till we see what the end of the puzzle is. Oh my God.
With Deborah Roberts.
At the end, we like pan out on it and we like see what he's been putting together this whole time. This guy is like,
okay.
He gets to the bottom of it.
All right, 2020, we're with you. So stay tuned for the trailer for that, fam. And we love you.
We love you. See you next week.
All right, bye.
Bye.
This is a true murder mystery. Emphasis on murder, emphasis on mystery.
I felt like Lita's murder case looks like a true crime story, but it goes a lot deeper.
Who would kill this woman? She wasn't robbed. Somebody came to the door with roses and shot her dead.
Was there a feeling that this had to be pretty calculated?
She was shot with a 9mm semi-automatic handgun.
No obvious suspect.
Was she at all concerned about the fact that she was in an interracial marriage and that this was a difficult time in the South?
It was not a welcoming place for a black woman to live.
She said, I'm done. I'm packing up my stuff.
I want you to see the puzzle. When I put it together and I show it to you, you'll never forget it.
Your wife's best friend has been murdered, and police are looking at you.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.
Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.